This is the Liberty Weekly Review, produced by the Libertarian Party of Collier County, with your window on the world of local, state, and national issues. Host John DePrisco and the panel taking your calls at 239-430-2428. That's 430-CHAT. To find out more about the Libertarian Party of Collier County, go to collierlp.com or look them up on Facebook. And now, the Liberty Weekly Review.
And welcome to the Liberty Weekly Review. This is Episode 7, Open Items. Episode 7, Open Items and Ongoing Things. I'm John DePrisco. The show is produced by the Libertarian Party of Collier County. We are a panel format with a guest, and I'll be introducing them. But we do take live call-ins, and our number is 430-CHAT. That's 239-430-2428. And we are running a little fundraiser. If you want to support the show, if you think we're doing okay, go to our website, which is Collier LP, and then click on the donate button on the left, and we really appreciate it. So our panel today is Joe Doyle, and he's also going to do the Week in Review, backed by popular demand. Welcome, Joe.
Thank you, John. Good afternoon. We had a quiet week, and appropriately so, because Monday was Memorial Day. We had the event at the Naples Memorial Gardens put together by the Collier County Veterans Council. It was very well done, pretty much dry, just a couple episodes of some downpours, but was a very nice, nice event. And on Wednesday, May 30th, the North Collier Fire District continued on with its town halls regarding the fire service fee. This one was held at Palmetto Ridge High School, but I don't know anyone who attended, so I don't know how well a turnout that they had. And this week, we started hurricane season on June 1st.
Yes.
And as such, there is the Disaster Preparedness Tax-Free Holiday Week, which runs through Thursday, June 7th. And people can go ahead and get their batteries and self-powered radios.
And those are all tax-free.
All tax-free this week. So I really hope people go out and stock up and get ready.
Yeah, it's usually pretty popular. And Joe is going to stay with us as part of our panel today. So welcome, Joe. And today's topic is open items and ongoing things. This is basically a potpourri of stuff that we've covered in the past, but they are still open or ongoing. For example, the forums that are going on for school board, textbook review, fire assessment fees, and other referendums, voting for candidates. So all these things are still on our plate. And so we're going to bring them up for the full hour today. We have a guest in studio. He is Pastor Rick Stevens of the Diplomat Wesleyan Church in Cape Coral since 1997. And he's also the co-founder and director of the Florida Citizens Alliance. Pastor Rick, welcome.
Well, thank you, John. Pleasure to be here.
So we're going to talk about a bunch of things that, you know, the Florida Citizens Alliance is also, you know, on the forefront of. And I want to start with House Bill 989, which was passed last year. Pastor Rick, can you give us any background on what that is?
Well, Florida Citizens Alliance became concerned about a lot of educational issues, and several years ago, the buzzword was Common Core, and we began to work trying to figure out how can we improve the situation, how can we, in some ways you'd say attack Common Core, we might say reform it to make it better, and we wanted to do that at the legislative level in Tallahassee. So we started working on that, and we started developing our ideas and what are some of the things we could do. Very early on, we found out that nobody in Tallahassee was at all interested in eliminating Common Core. Mm-hmm. And for the most part, it remains today, just called by different names.
Sure.
So we decided we'd take a different tact at that, and we realized that one of the elements of Common Core, we identified three key elements. One of the elements of Common Core was the instructional materials, mm-hmm. because they were a lot of what was being taught. They drove the curriculum, of course, and that was part of the testing and all of the whole business. So we thought, well, if we can take a look at the instructional materials, are there some ways to improve the quality of them? We weren't just concerned with what they were teaching, but we were concerned with the quality of the materials and that they follow Florida law and that local residents of the counties have the opportunity to weigh in on the instructional materials about the ones their children are looking at every day at school. So that's how we started. We ended up with 989.
And it did get passed, and it was signed.
Yes, it was passed and signed by the governor, and we were delighted.
And that was fairly recent. That was last year.
Yes, 2017.
And are you aware of any positive results from that, like at the local level or other school board?
There are some positive results. We're seeing people use the provisions of the law to speak up and to let their voice be heard. We think that's a good thing. We have always encouraged the conversation. We haven't been about a viewpoint. We've been about let's have the conversation. Mm-hmm. Let's follow the law. We have seen some efforts in Marion County where they have actually taken some steps to choose their own materials, to do their own processes, and actually have come up with better choices and a better process. In fact, eliminated some of the publishers and suppliers because those publishers refused to follow Florida law. So we've been very encouraged that it is possible to take some steps in the right direction. In fact, we gave them our first ever educational leadership award a few weeks ago. We're very glad to see the people starting to use the provisions of the law.
Mm-hmm. Now, the provisions specifically, let's pick some words, balanced, anti, or non-inflammatory. What are some of the words and how would you use them?
Well, this wasn't part of what we did, but this is part of what we try to make people aware of, is that Florida law requires all these instructional materials to be accurate, objective, balanced, and non-inflammatory. And that's really all we're asking for. Mm-hmm. Whenever we raise an objection or a concern about materials, whenever the people associated with the Florida Citizens Alliance speak up, we're asking them to focus on those kinds of things, to make sure that the materials our children read are accurate, balanced, objective, and non-inflammatory. We think that's simple, and we think that's common sense.
Okay. And so when we reference House Bill 989, actually when it came into law, it modifies existing state statute. So it might be like state statute 1006.
Right.
Version, comma, paragraph, you know.
Right. Most bills do that. Yeah. They modify something that exists, and they change and add to it. And the big thing that this did is it gave the residents of Florida the opportunity to speak up. Before residents could object at the end of the process, this is still pretty much to the end of the process, but not as bad. And whenever you're the last person that gets a chance to speak, the train has already left the station, and it's very, very difficult then to get people to pay attention, very difficult to interrupt the process to do something better. This gives the residents of Florida the opportunity to speak up in a timely fashion, present their objectives, our objections, and then it requires that the school board appoint a hearing officer to hear and evaluate those objections. It's very important to have somebody who's not connected to the school district, somebody who's independent, who will hear and give fair opportunity for all of the residents to make their voice heard, and then that person, he or she, can provide a report to the school board. Mm-hmm. It still becomes the school board's final responsibility to decide on what is right, but the school board is still required to follow the law, because if the materials, no matter what a hearing officer says or anyone else, if the materials are not accurate, objective, balanced, and non-inflammatory, they don't meet the requirements of the law and therefore cannot be approved.
Okay. And to play devil's advocate, while 989 was going through the process, what did you hear were the objections to it, and how would you counter them?
Oh, boy.
Pick one,
A lot of what we heard was, is this really a problem?
Right.
Because there's just not many legislators who are aware of this. Or we would show them our objectional materials report, and they said, well, that doesn't happen in our county. And so we had to try to help them understand that this was a Florida-wide situation, and most of the materials that were used in one county were used in multiple counties. So part of that process was to do that. Part of the process was, well, aren't you just making it more difficult for things to get done at the local level? And our response to that was, we're not trying to make it difficult. We're trying to get the best materials. If these are high-quality materials, and of course there was a lot of this, what's your problem with this? And we kept saying, if the materials are high quality, if they really do meet these standards, there won't be a problem. So why should you be afraid of allowing the residents of Florida to be involved? There was concern over, should it be just the parents that could be involved in that? Well, fortunately, to the legislators' credit, many of them recognized right away that it shouldn't just be the parents, because they recognize that the residents of Florida pay the taxes that support the schools. And so it made sense for everybody to do that. Now, along the way, we learned some things. We had some help from some legislators who recognized that you had to say things differently. We had taxpayers, for example, in the original draft of the bill, and we learned that there is no legal definition of taxpayer. So okay, well, we're not lawyers, but they helped us craft the idea that it's residents. And that was an easy definition there. So some of those kind of things were part of the process. Some of it was partisan political, we think, and some of it was just unawareness and not really realizing why this is an issue. Once we got through that, once we had the support of the Speaker and the President of the Senate, that helped a lot. We think they did a lot to help move the process along. And so, lo and behold, passed strong in the House, not quite as strong in the Senate. We weren't surprised that it wasn't as strong in the Senate, but it passed, and the governor signed it, and we were delighted.
Okay, and so in the end, it had the words that you felt were necessary. There wasn't a whole lot of compromise, and it got through.
Don't I wish? it is part of the process that things change as you go along. We had some ideals that we put in at the beginning, and we thought it was common sense. Once you get into the process, you find out that not everybody's common sense is the same.
Right.
And so there were some things that were changed. We like to think we got maybe half of what we started out with. And so sometimes people will say to me, well, why can't those guys in Tallahassee just do the right thing? And I'll laugh and say, well, that's a really good question, and we think they should. But I also reminded them that it's not a bad thing that it's a hard process.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Because if it was easy,
everyone would be doing it.
Oh, and there would be so much more mischief come out of Tallahassee. So,
all right, we're going to take a quick break. If you want to talk to Pastor Rick, our talk line is 430-2428. That's 430-CHAT. And we're going to come back with the panel and Pastor Rick.
98.9 WGUF.
Connor,
mm-hmm.
What's the name of your chicken?
Peggy.
And what do you think the most important part of taking care of Peggy is?
Giving her water, giving her food, letting her roam around and eat the greens a lot in her field.
Mm-hmm. I think so, too. At McDonald Insurance, we love taking care of our customers as well, providing them value with integrity. At McDonald Insurance, we have 12 homeowners insurance companies and 8 auto insurance companies. You'll never have to worry about whether you got the best deal. You always will at McDonald. Call 239-596-0000. What's that number, Connor?
596-0000.
239-596-0000. Or online at www.insurancemcdonald.com. That's www.insurancemcdonald.com. Bye, Connor.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You accidentally cut your daughter's bangs unevenly. Do you A, line things up a centimeter from her hairline?
Man, oh man, oh man, oh man, oh man!
No, sweatbands are so hot right now. Everyone's wearing them. Like that basketball player and that other basketball player.
B, get spiritual.
Mom, where did all the mirrors go?
A reflection could never capture our true selves.
Huh?
Beauty is within.
C, look on the bright side.
Less time blow drying, more time texting.
Or D, show empathy.
Mom, you really don't have
to. Twinsies.
I kind of love it. As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Are you a Catholic who is conservative or libertarian? Have you been hesitant to look too closely at Catholic social teaching? Well, I believe my book, Economics of Catholic Subsidiarity, is just for you. My name is James DePrisco, and I wrote this book for Catholic libertarians. Did you know that Pope Leo XIII was accused of selling out to the capitalists after he wrote Rerum Novarum? It's all in my book, Economics of Catholic Subsidiarity. Pick up a copy from Amazon.
We all play a role in keeping our community safe.
Every day, we move in and out of each other's busy lives.
It's easy to take for granted all the little moments that make up our everyday.
Some are good, others not so much.
But that's life.
It's when something doesn't seem quite right
that it's time to pay attention.
Because only you know what's not supposed to be in your everyday.
So protect your everyday.
If you see something suspicious, say something to local authorities.
And now, back to the Liberty Weekly Review on 98.9 WGUF.
And we are back with Pastor Rick Stevens of the Diplomat Wesleyan Church and Director of the Florida Citizens Alliance. And on the panel, me and Joe Doyle. Joe.
Well, I just wanted to give you a little insight as to how the process last year varies from the new process this year. Last year, Collier County had the social studies and history textbook adoption, and we didn't have the hearing officer for that, nor did we have the ability for residents to make objections. Residents had to pair up with a parent to help them with an objection, but the parent had to submit the objection last year. This year, it's a whole new ball of wax. So we have seen in some of our neighboring counties, Charlotte County, for instance, has already gone through the process, and residents there have submitted objections, and they just had a hearing officer process. There are some kinks in that. So, and our hearing officer process here in Collier County, this year we're doing science books, will be forthcoming in the middle of the month. So we'll see how that plays out.
Okay. And so, Pastor Rick, we've had a couple, you know, you mentioned one county. Joe's talking about Collier County. So we are seeing some results from HB 989.
Right. The results are all dependent upon local people getting involved. Mm-hmm. And we've long advocated that. And that's what part of what we did. We wanted to give them a voice. So step up and speak up. We think the conversation is important. Interestingly enough, one of the responses that came to us after the bill passed from media outlets was they would call up and want to do an interview, and they'd want to know what it was we were trying to push. You know, what was our hidden agenda?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
And I said repeatedly, I said, we don't have an agenda. We realize that residents of Florida may have strong viewpoints on things. We want them to have the opportunity to speak up. We think if we have a good, robust conversation, we'll make better decisions. We don't want to squelch anybody. We want to open the door to let everybody in. And surprisingly enough, a lot of reporters didn't know what to do with that. Mm-hmm. They thought that was really odd because they had been told, I'm sure, that we were up to no good and we had some kind of secret effort going on to undermine everything. Nope, we want to be open, out front with all of that. And we think that if somebody's pushing a viewpoint, that ought to be a big red flag mm-hmm. to all the residents of Florida that something's going on. Because when you push a viewpoint, then you're trying to push the process in your direction, not making it open and balanced and fair for the students.
Right. And part of that is you've got a captured audience of mm-hmm. impressionable youth.
Oh, absolutely.
And you've got tax dollars at yes. your feet.
Yes.
You know, you could do some evil.
Well, when I testified before the Education Committee in Tallahassee, when we were going through the process of 989, one of the things that I said to them is that when I had children growing up, as a parent, I paid attention to what they watched on television. I paid attention to the videos that they watched in our house. I paid attention to the books that they read. So why shouldn't I, as a taxpayer and a resident of Florida, have the opportunity to help look at the things that the kids read at school? We send our kids to school and encourage them to pay attention to the teacher, to learn their lessons, to respect the teachers and the rest of the school. And so they're put up as an authority figure. Mm-hmm. And so when they teach something, we're in essence saying to our kids, listen to what they say because they know what they're talking about. Well, if we allow materials that are not objective and balanced and non-inflammatory into the schools, then we're setting our kids up for something we would never allow them to have at home.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's why we want this process to be open and fair.
Right. Speaking of which, Joe, you know, there is a review process. And recently you were on a committee reviewing science textbooks for Collier County.
Right. I was on the middle school science committee as well as the life and integrated sciences committee. Mm-hmm. And I went through the process, which was very enlightening. And I found flaws in the process. Mm-hmm. Not okay. even following our own policies and procedures. I have issues with whether or not we really did a full and fair review of the materials. And I wrote an executive summary and presented that to the school board at their last meeting, actually asking them to remand the textbooks to the committees, reconvene them. It's a 3-year adoption cycle. You know, one might ask, what's the rush?
Exactly.
But I know part of the rush is that fact that this particular school district has its licenses and subscriptions expiring this year, so they want to get a new set of books. But rather than rush it, I think we need to get it right.
Sure, yeah.
And, you know, to add to Pastor Rick, we as residents and taxpayers, if you look at your property tax bill, over half of it, 52%, goes to the school district.
Mm-hmm.
And several of us may not have children in the system may have grandchildren, but it still doesn't make you a parent. And a lot of us are retired with expertise in several fields. We have lots of retired executives here in Florida who had illustrious careers. We have several medical and engineering professionals who can give input into all of these materials. And Pastor, as you know, as you were saying about how you reviewed things for your children and how important it is for parents to continue to do that, some of these materials that are here will, to quote the scripture, lead the children astray. And I believe that while we have to give children an educational foundation, part of it, what's the ultimate goal? Well, in my worldview, the ultimate goal is to help them get to eternal salvation.
Right.
But to do that, they have to have the right materials.
Yeah. And so when we're looking at science textbooks or we're looking at any instructional material in general, going back to HB 989 and State Statute 1006, you know, we're looking for, like you said, non-inflammatory, accurate, objective, balanced. You know, and it sounds to me like the powers that be and those groups that are supporting them don't like the idea of balanced and objective because they're selling their viewpoint, which might be theory, and I'm talking, you know, evolution. Mm-hmm. Where it's a theory, it's not law,
right?
And there could be other theories. And to them, either you're with their theory and they call that science, or you're not and they call you anti-science.
Well, and that's a very good observation because they're obviously pushing a viewpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what gets our attention. That's what alarms us. We don't want somebody pushing a viewpoint. We're not afraid of our children learning how to think for themselves and seeing what's out there. We're not afraid of our children at an age-appropriate time being exposed to the various thoughts and perspectives. But we don't want them given one perspective and told, this is the perspective. And so when you advocate something like evolution, you're telling them that's the answer. And it's not settled in the scientific community. Science isn't done by consensus anyway. It's done by replicating the results. And you can't replicate those results. It's just a working conversation. Let's treat it that way for our children.
Yeah. And, you know, I remember growing up in the 70s where we were taught everything was, it's going to be an ice age. It's going to be an ice age. It's going to be an ice age. That's the prevailing science. You know, the icebergs were going to come down from the Arctic and cover us all. Then it was, you know, nuclear winter. Then it was, you know, global warming. Well, now they don't say that. They say climate change. Well, yeah, the climate changes every hour. I mean, you know.
Sure.
So I started looking into it. I'm not a creationist. I'm not an intelligent designist. But I'm seeing that the math doesn't add up. The random chance and variation doesn't add up. And the sine waves that we have in you know, climate change, you've got your day, night. We understand that.
Mm-hmm.
You've got summer, winter. We understand that. But we've got ice age, and we don't understand that as well. I mean, you know, you have glacial and interglacial periods. We don't know exactly where we are on that. We don't know how much of that is natural and how much is man-made. And yet they're pushing that it's all man-made. I've had people tell me it's 100% man-made. I'm like, don't you understand the sine wave of ice age? And they're like, no, but we've got a carbon tax and we've got to, you know, we've got to have government control of all this. There's the agenda.
Oh, right. Absolutely. And it's a lot of fear, too. Why mm-hmm. are we so afraid?
Fear mongering.
And a lot of fear mongering that if we don't do this, something bad is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we need to step back, take a breath, look at the various perspectives and teach our children to do that very same thing. If indeed the best argument is, for your example, man-made global warming, then they'll come to that conclusion. But if it's not, they'll recognize that it's not well substantiated, and they'll come to a different conclusion.
Right.
That's true on all these so-called controversial issues.
And I can say that in some of the books that I've read and reviewed, it's not a balanced discussion. And it is so much in favor of blaming man for all of this climate change. But just look what's happening in Hawaii this last couple of weeks.
Oh, yeah.
You have the volcano and all the lava and all the heat coming from that, as well as all the sulfur coming from it. Mm-hmm. And if you want to look at the man-made part of it, you had several coal-fired electrical plants coming online out of China,
right,
and contributing to all the pollution. But they want to tax Americans,
yeah,
You know, right. So there's where the politics come into this whole thing.
Sure. An ideology, a viewpoint that somebody's advancing.
Yeah. And it gives them the tax because they want to control it, and it gives them the power.
Exactly.
So they'll grab any concept they can, and to me, I think it's off the wall, and yet they won't go after China or India or the big, you know, the big polluters.
Well, the power is always in saying no.
Right.
That's how you control people, by saying no. Yeah. It's not in saying yes.
So I think we'll take an early break, and when we come back, I want to get want to spend some time on maybe taking this forward. What do we do? We have candidates, we have elections, we have forums, and I think that's where, you know, the Florida Citizens Alliance comes into play. I want to talk a little bit about that, and you know, and what questions we can ask, and how can we understand where the candidates are.
98.9 WGUF.
Are you a Catholic who is conservative or libertarian? Have you been hesitant to look too closely at Catholic social teaching? Well, I believe my book, Economics of Catholic Subsidiarity, is just for you. My name is James DePrisco, and I wrote this book for Catholic libertarians. Did you know that Pope Leo XIII was accused of selling out to the capitalists after he wrote Rerum Novarum? It's all in my book, Economics of Catholic Subsidiarity. Pick up a copy from Amazon.
Think fast. In the short time it takes to listen to this message, a small flame can turn into a big fire. Several minutes more, and thick, poisonous smoke may have filled your lungs and reduced your ability to respond. Give it five, and your entire home may be filled with flames.
Keep breathing. We've got you.
Don't let your world go up in smoke. Have working smoke alarms and keep children 3 feet away from anything that gets hot. Learn more at usfa.fema.gov, because fire is everyone's fight.
Hi, I'm Mike McDonald with the McDonald Insurance Agency in Naples, Florida. I'm here with my son, Connor. Hey, Connor, do you play football?
Yes, Daddy, I do.
I used to play football, too, but now I try to protect people from the unexpected. I give them the very best insurance at the very best rate. I give them choices because I'm an independent insurance agent, unlike people who only have one choice. Connor, we work very hard to protect our clients. What's the hardest thing you do in football?
Learning how to block on the offensive line.
You know, Connor, practice does make perfect. And here at the McDonald Insurance Agency, we pride ourselves in always practicing good business principles, the golden rule, so our clients always have a great experience. If you want to find us, look us up online at insurancemcdonald.com. That's insurancemcdonald.com. Telephone number 239-596-0000. That's 239-596-0000.
Go McDonald's!
There's a threat targeting America. One that's growing fast, but may still be hard to see. Lyme disease. Spread by tiny ticks, often smaller than the head of a pin, this dangerous disease is now more widespread than West Nile, tuberculosis, and HIV/AIDS combined. And if left untreated, it can lead to arthritis, facial paralysis, and even memory and concentration problems, often called brain fog. As the threat of Lyme disease grows to more than 300,000 projected cases each year, it's time for us to target Lyme disease. That means checking for ticks when you've been outside, even in your own backyard. It means seeing a doctor if you experience the symptoms of Lyme disease, which can include joint pain, flu-like symptoms, fever, fatigue, or sometimes a bullseye-shaped rash. Set your sights on stopping Lyme. Learn how you can target Lyme disease at targetlyme.org. Brought to you by the Stephen and Alexandra Cohen Foundation and this station.
This is the Liberty Weekly Review on 98.9 WGUF.
And we are back with our panel, Joe Doyle, and our guest, Pastor Rick Stevens from the Diplomat Wesleyan Church and the Florida Citizens Alliance. We're talking a little bit about how the school operates, the House Bill 989, and we're working that into how the textbooks are being reviewed. And now I want to go to the next level, which is the actual school board itself. And I know that the Florida Citizens Alliance has run forums and is doing interviews.
Yes.
For the school board.
In fact, the interviews are taking place today and tomorrow for a lot of candidates to make up some voter guides. But yes, we've run forums for a lot of different elected offices, not everyone, but a number of ones that our people are particularly interested in, and that we thought we could have a role in helping educate the voters. And so that's why we've done that. We've always taken the approach to our forums that we wanted them to be substantive. We wanted the questions and the answers to mean something and not just be the normal kind of election conversation or, how should I say, stump speech. Mm-hmm. We wanted to get really, really into the things that concerned the people. So when we would have a forum, and we continue to do this, we look for a moderator that's independent of the Florida Citizens Alliance. We have never once, not once, told a moderator what they could ask about or what they couldn't ask about. We have told them what people are interested in from our perspective, helped them understand the environment if they weren't fully briefed on that. But we've never tried to control that. We have always taken questions from the audience. They'll submit them. We give those to the moderators. The moderators go through the questions. They pick out what they want to talk about and leave on the table the ones they don't. It doesn't always go the way everybody wants it to go because of the questions, but we never, ever try to control that process because we want to be an honest broker in helping the voters know what's going on and hear what from the candidates themselves.
Well, and if people were listening last week, know we had a little issue with that last week with another group that suppressed questions. And but I do wanted to get back to, you know, as a nonprofit, you guys do not endorse candidates, but you do sometimes you can call them highly qualified, or what is that?
Well, we never endorse candidates.
Right.
We will evaluate them. We'll put out voter guides so people can see where they stand on the issues. And sometimes we're working on this process this time. We've never done it before to identify the highly qualified candidates to help the voters on that as well. And we'll see how that goes. Mm-hmm. It's not an endorsement. It's just our evaluation to help people think through it. Again, we want people to know the candidates. We want them to vote intelligently and get past the flyers that come in the mail and the television commercials so they can really meet the candidates and get to know what's going on.
And some of those questions that you're doing today and tomorrow, I think you have a set that's always the same. It's like based on the Constitution or their objective questions.
Right. We always have a set of objective questions. Mm-hmm. And what we're doing this weekend in the interviews is with the Christian Family Coalition.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have done this process and we're now working with them on that in Collier County. And yeah, there are some standard questions because we want to be able to compare the candidates' answers to each other. And in our efforts, and I think going forward this will be the case, we want candidates to tell us yes or no about issues. We don't want them to give us, well, maybe this way or maybe that way, because every time an elected official has to vote, they have to say yes to the issue or no. And we think they should say yes or no ahead of time so the voters are prepared and know what to expect. And know how to vote.
Yeah. And it's like we've said before on the show, it's their report card, it's their resume, it's their interview process that you should know before you vote for them.
Exactly.
And so, Joe, you know, we had this incident last week. And again, I'll put out the invitation to Beth Pavloff and Bill Corson. You guys are welcome to come on. You're with the Coalition for Quality Public Education. You guys suppressed my question. There's no question about it. And you prevented my accurate information to be placed before the board candidates with your inaccurate information. But please call in. It's 430-CHAT, by the way, 430-2428, and I doubt I'll hear from him. However, I did notice that Bill Corson, who I think is the treasurer of the coalition, is also the president of the Greater Naples Chapter of Americans United for Separation of Church and State, and he and a bunch of others obviously coordinated a letter-writing campaign to the Naples Daily News in their editorials. And Joe, we have a couple of those that we've reviewed, and you know, they're pushing this whole concept of either your science or anti-science. They don't allow for discretion or the ability to, you know, to say, well, there's more than one theory.
Well, to your point, Mr. Corson wrote a letter to the Naples Daily News in the May 25th edition, and he starts out saying that we believe that the constitutional principle of church-state separation gives public servants and public school teachers the freedom to hold religious beliefs or not believe as they see fit. Well, let's start with that.
Yeah.
There is no constitutional
principle,
separation of church and state.
Yeah,
exactly right.
Okay, so, all right. So, and then there's the misinformation that we're getting that that public schools might try to teach creationism as scientific fact. Well, we're not, nobody is advocating that. Mm-hmm. For instance, in this evolution theory debate, it's not a fact. Some of the books are teaching it as fact. So let's talk about that. It's not settled science. I have a professor when I was years ago working on my biology degree who was good friends with a professor at another university who challenged Darwin's theory of evolution. So, and it wasn't from a creationist standpoint. It was just from a scientific standpoint. So the science is not settled. So we had two views right there on evolution. And then to bring in the creationism, as you see, like we have with the church, separation of church and state, the leftist ideology is trying to confuse the issue and misrepresent what we're trying to do.
Sure.
But the bottom line is what Florida law requires in 989 and the statutes 106.283, 106.31. Mm-hmm. There has to be a balanced discussion, and exactly. That's Florida law.
That is exactly right. That's what we've always advocated for. And I think that you rightly pointed out that this letter writer quoted the constitutional principle of church and state separation.
Yeah.
There is no constitutional principle. That's exactly right. But what more than that, I think that people of Christian faith need to realize that quoting that as a principle is simply a tactic to silence us. Mm-hmm. And the people of God and good-hearted people everywhere should not be silenced by that. The constitutional principle is freedom of speech and freedom of religion. Mm-hmm. And those don't go away just because we make up a principle of, that doesn't exist,
right,
called church and state separation. It's a tactic. It's been all too effective. It's time for people to take courage and speak up.
Yeah, and you can twist the words and say, well, you know, evolution is sound science or, you know, scientific fact. Well, you're just throwing those words out that don't make them true.
Well, exactly. Yeah. And from my perspective as a pastor, when you talk about evolution and you start unrolling that, you're really talking about origins. Where did people come from?
Right.
Well, the conversation about origins is a religious argument,
yeah,
a religious conversation. Why are these people who want to talk about separation of church and state, who seem to want to put religion to the side, why do they want to advance a religious argument?
Right.
We're back to the whole issue. We want objective materials that tell the story accurately so our students can be well informed. It's not complicated. Like I said at the beginning, when somebody's advancing a viewpoint, it ought to be a huge red flag to everybody else that cares about legitimate inquiry and learning how to think independently and for themselves.
Yeah, and sooner or later, no matter how far you go back, you've got to answer the question, where did something come from nothing? And,
yes,
you know, they'll come up with multiverse and, you know, different concepts of, you know, different phases and, you know, different planes of existence, but they just will not go that one step further and say, well, we're discussing something from nothing. And in the end, it's faith-based. You're taking it on faith that there's a multiverse.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's the danger of having these viewpoints advocated. And when you take them out to their conclusion, you find out they're advocating for something that the residents of Florida reject. And they want their kids to be told the whole story and not be indoctrinated by a viewpoint that's contrary to their family and their religious values.
Well, and look, over my lifetime, and I learned my basic sciences in elementary and middle school and high school in the 70s. And back then, I was taught about the solar system, and we had 9 planets.
Yeah.
And I haven't really been keeping track of it because I went into medicine and business. But every so often, I'll see that Pluto's a planet, then it's not,
yeah, right,
then it is, and then it's not. So the whole idea here is to let the students know that they have to constantly learn. They have to start knowing that nothing is absolute and that things will change over time, but you just have to keep up with the discussion.
And that's the nature of scientific inquiry, is to allow that conversation to continue and not have a dogmatic viewpoint that is supposed to be the end of the discussion. It's not the end of the discussion. I think students are smart enough to realize that, and we need to help them learn to think for themselves and not be taught a way to think.
Yeah. I did want to get back to something we discussed last week, which was this particular group that has their own agenda. They are virulently against charter schools. And, or they sometimes they say parochial schools, private schools, but what they're, you know, what they're saying is non-public schools. They're very much against it. And I think the fear from them is that the money should follow the student, and so then they lose control of the money. And so my retort to that is, if the money does follow the student, and the school is, in the end, responsible for every student by mandate, you know, by Florida Constitution, if, you know, and I mentioned this last week, if a charter school has 1,000 students, they close for Christmas break, and then for whatever reason they don't reopen, those 1,000 students are now on the doorstep of the county. You know, they're required to cover them. I totally get that. I believe the money should be there for that. There should be infrastructure. There should be money to handle, you know, overhead. But sooner or later, and using their numbers, which they call it $8,000 per student to teach the student, that $8,000 or whatever the number comes up to be should follow the student. So if they go to a charter school, the money should go to them. But I think, and I've not heard this before, I think that the school should report, or the county should report, for all students. And so that if, you know, and in this particular case, we have the best school in the state of Florida is here in Collier as a charter school, they should be able to count that as their, you know, as part of their success, as part of their graduation rate, as part of whatever they used as their metric. Why not? But the money should follow those students.
Sure. Why not? Exactly. Why can't we have alternatives that help the student and help the school? I think that makes sense.
Yeah. All right, so we're up on a break. When we get back, we'll try to get into other things, but I like where this is going, so we'll stay with it.
Listen to Naples FM Talk Live at WGUF989.com.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes, and you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to. Nope. I'm sure you've got a perfectly good excuse. Kids, work. I get it. You're busy. So what better time than now? Let's begin. Raise one finger if you're a man. Ladies, none yet. Oh, count in your head if you're driving. Now, three more fingers for everyone over 60, two over 50, one over 40, one more if you're not physically active, another finger if anyone in your family has type 2 diabetes, another if you've got high blood pressure. If you're overweight, raise another finger, two if you're very overweight, and three if you're really overweight. You've just taken the world's first audio prediabetes test. And if you're holding up five or more fingers, visit doihaveprediabetes.org or talk to your doctor. There's no excuse, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
This is the sound of salmonella gyrating on your undercooked chicken. And it looks like mom might be taking it out a little early. Don't let salmonella get funky with your chicken. On average, 1 in 6 Americans will get a foodborne illness this year. So use a thermometer to cook each type of meat to the right temperature. Keep your family safe at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
Are you a Catholic who is conservative or libertarian? Have you been hesitant to look too closely at Catholic social teaching? Well, I believe my book, Economics of Catholic Subsidiarity, is just for you. My name is James DePrisco, and I wrote this book for Catholic libertarians. Did you know that Pope Leo XIII was accused of selling out to the capitalists after he wrote Rerum Novarum? It's all in my book, Economics of Catholic Subsidiarity. Pick up a copy from Amazon.
Connor,
mm-hmm.
What's the name of your chicken?
Peggy.
And what do you think the most important part of taking care of Peggy is?
Giving her water, giving her food. Letting her roam around and eat the greens a lot in her field.
Mm-hmm. I think so, too. At McDonald Insurance, we love taking care of our customers as well, providing them value with integrity. At McDonald Insurance, we have 12 homeowners insurance companies and 8 auto insurance companies. You'll never have to worry about whether you got the best deal. You always will at McDonald's. Call 239-596-0000. What's that number, Connor?
596-0000.
239-596-0000. Or online at www.insurancemcdonald.com. That's www.insurancemcdonald.com. Bye, Connor.
Want to talk to the panel? Call the Liberty Weekly Review at 239-430-2428. That's 430-CHAT.
And we are back. And I was just speaking hypothetically, but But Joe, there is some actual concepts about the money and how it follows charter schools.
Yeah, charter schools, first of all, are actually public schools. They're non-traditional, but they are public schools, and they get their money from the state. Mm-hmm. So that state per pupil allocation goes to the charter school with a little fee off the top to the school district to administer it. Mm-hmm. The fee does go down if the charter school has been in existence for a certain number of years and is also performing well. The one that we're talking about is Mason Classical mm-hmm. Academy. They have done so well that they had an automatic extension of their contract. The state told Collier County that they had to extend it. It's a state law that they did so well.
Excellent.
So, yeah, and they get no property tax mm-hmm. funding. And that's important. When I was a kid and I went to parochial schools, the public school buses drove by our house, and they picked us up, put us at a central location, and took us to our parochial school. These parents who take their children to Mason Classical Academy on Horseshoe, they have to drive from all parts of the county to get their children there at their own expense. Yep. And I believe that the school district should provide some busing, but that's a fight for another day.
Yeah, I think you're right. That's a fight worth having. You know, really, all we're talking about in all these things that we are concerned about the functions of government entities, whether it's school boards or county commissions or anything else, really goes back to our conviction and the American conviction that the job of our government has always been to preserve the rights of the people, mm-hmm. not to control their lives, not to tell them what they can have or what they can't have, but it's to recognize that we have rights that come from God, and the government is supposed to preserve those rights. And we need them to do that again for a change.
Yeah. I mean, the Bill of Rights are what we call negatives. Yep. It tells the government what it cannot do. You know, it limits the government. And, you know, we get those rights inherently from our Creator. And, you know, it's very specific, and the Constitution would not have passed if those 10 amendments weren't included.
And that's right. People don't remember, if they were ever taught, that's what the Bill of Rights was there for, is to make sure the government knew its place.
Yeah.
And those were restrictions on government, not on the people.
Right.
And we need to recapture that sense.
Yeah, we do. We do a lot, actually. It just has grown and grown and grown, especially at the federal level. And Joe, you know, we've talked about this on past episodes. There are other things that are open. You know, we've got a 1% sales surtax that the county commission is thinking about. We've got the non-ad valorem fire assessment fee, which the North Collier Fire Control and Rescue District is writing up. We have the ongoing dispensary ban. We have this Florida law that creates a whole new class of people between 18 and 20. You know, in the little time we have left, what do you want to pick to talk about?
Well, I think that all the residents and voters really need to either take one or two of the issues and really learn all about them. They're going to be on the referendums either in the primary in August or in the general election in November. We have some opportunity, for instance, with the fire service fee that's going to be $254 for residential to clean up the ballot language mm-hmm. at the next fire commissioner's board meeting. So it's not a done deal, although it's looking pretty much that it's going to be on the August ballot. But there is a chance that if there's enough backlash that we at the next board meeting, that it could be taken off the ballot. So I think people need to really get involved with these issues and speak up to their elected officials and show up at the meetings.
Yeah, and you know, I was surprised to find out that a lot of this occurs in August, and a lot of this occurs well before the November date, because of course you have people who vote through the mail or early voting, and so a lot of this could happen before, you know, they vote before it even is finalized.
A lot of times, I think they do these things in advance because they have to be, but also because they know people aren't paying attention, mm-hmm. and we really try to encourage people to pay attention because I heard a congressman who actually was elected from where I grew up in Ohio. He was the first one I heard say this. He said, "Your elected representatives will do whatever they can get away with." Yeah. And I thought that was kind of cynical and sad and disappointing. But the more I've looked at the process, the more correct he has become. And we need to make sure that we control the amount of money they have to spend, because every dime we give them, they will spend and then turn around and ask for more.
Yeah. And Pastor Rick, in last few minutes here, tell us a little bit more about the Florida Citizens Alliance, where people can find you on the web. You're a 501c3.
Yes, we are a 501c3 nonprofit alliance. We are just a group of people that are concerned about our children. We aren't particularly unusual. We're just regular folks, and we just work together and try to find ways to work together and find common ground. We think Florida children deserve the best education we can provide for them, and we work to find common sense solutions. Yes, we can all point out a problem. We can all find something that's broken. We want to find a way to fix some of the problems. We want to be solution-oriented and not just complaining about the problems. People can find us at floridacitizensalliance.com, and our website has information about who we are and what we do. And I'd encourage people to go there, floridacitizensalliance.com, and contact us. We'd be glad to put you on our mailing list, keep you informed on what we're doing, because we're moving forward and we're headed in the right direction. We'd like to have everybody join us.
All right. And Pastor Rick Stevens, thanks for coming in today and being a part of our show.
My pleasure. Thank you, John.
And so, Joe, let's go to the week in review for next week.
Yeah, in the week ahead, on Tuesday, June 5th at 9 a.m., the Board of Commissioners will have a workshop down at their county chambers on mental health. Hmm. It's been a series. And it's a very important issue that needs more funding and sure. solutions. On Thursday, June 7th at 10 a.m., there will be a town hall for business owners regarding the fire service fee. Hmm. And that will be held at First Florida Integrity Bank at 3580 Pine Ridge Road in Naples. Mm-hmm. And it's really directed towards the business owners who are looking at a 25 cent per square foot
right.
Assessment.
Yep.
At 4 p.m., also on Thursday, June 7th, the science textbooks objections are due. So we encourage the parents, especially if you have children in the schools, to look at the science book that's going to be used next year for your child, go through it, see if you have any objections, and submit those online. And then, of course, that same day, the disaster preparedness tax holiday will end. Mm-hmm. And then the week after that, we will have a sales tax form on the 1% sales tax on Monday, June 11th at 4:30 p.m. at Moorings Park Community Center. And then on Tuesday, June 12th, there will be the every 2 week Board of County Commissioners board meeting. And at 4:30 p.m. will be the Collier County School Board meeting.
Okay. And if we could even go one step further, was there, like, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks ahead, the actual North Collier Fire Control will be having their meeting?
Right. They will have a fire service fee, another town hall on Tuesday, June 19th at 7 p.m., but their board meeting mm-hmm. will be on Thursday, June 21st to adopt the final ballot language. That'll be at 9 a.m. Also at 9 a.m., the Board of County Commissioners will be having their budget workshop. So we'll look at their new $1 billion budget for fiscal year 2019.
Right, the $1.1 billion. And so, Joe, thank you for that. And again, I want to tell everybody, you know, this information is going to impact you. You know, get involved, get educated on the issues, and make your voice heard. You know, when you pack the county commissioner's meeting space and they see that, I don't want to say pitchfork and tiki torches are out, but, you know, that it makes an impact on them and they realize that, their constituency is either incensed or informed or, has a position that maybe they weren't thinking they were going to vote that way. And you can make an impact. And I would say more than anything else, get informed about the questions that are ahead of you, the forums, the surtax, the assessment fees, these things are coming to a vote. And like we said, some of them are in August, some of them are in November. And of course, all the candidates for the various open seats, these are going to have an impact on your life. This is going to impact your wallet. This is going to impact your kids. It's going to impact the quality of life that you have in Collier County. And certainly in Lee County as well, I know we reach that audience. You have a whole separate issue of items that same way, though, you know, they impact you and you will have a chance to vote on them. So I think we had a great week. And again, you know, if you want to call in future weeks, we're at 430-CHAT. And I want to thank everybody on the panel today and our special guest. And I want to thank everybody for listening and just have a great weekend. Thanks all.
Thanks for listening. The Liberty Weekly Review will be back next week, produced by the Libertarian Party of Collier County. We wish you a great weekend, paid for by the Libertarian Party of Collier.